This is episode 3 of our podcast, breaking down the book of my mom, Marriage of Deceit. Wrote it at 78 years young. And let's get into it first, the interview, because you've been doing a bit of press about the book. How did the interview at CJAD go?
It went very well. I was a little nervous at first, but once I started speaking, I relaxed. It went fine. She's supposed to have us back. She went on vacation, and she said she only read part of it, and she said she's going to have us back.
That's great. This is just your first ever radio interview, professional. Like, me listening, the only thing I was worried about is maybe you cursing on live radio. But no, I thought you did great. You seemed comfortable and kind of surreal to hear my mom on the radio, you know, but it was fun. I thought you did a great job.
Thank you. Yes, it went well. And no, I didn't swear. I usually swear when I'm angry.
Yeah.
But there was nothing to be angry about.
And you also did a show, Wellness Wednesday, or was it Gail Brathwaite? She has a Facebook.
Interview.
How'd that go?
That went very well, too. She surprised me with a lot of her questions, but anyway, I explained a lot to her, and it went over well.
Oh, that's great. You also did some book signings as well.
Yes, I did. That people were hugging me and like I felt like a movie star.
So where would you go? You had two signings, right?
Yeah, we went to Indigo
downtown.
Yeah, downtown. Okay. Yeah. And
how'd that one go?
Very well. We sold over 12 books, and I asked the owners or main manager of the store. I said, "You're well known authors. How many books are sold that day when they do the signing?" She says, "He told me around 15. And doing 12, he says, you're doing very well."
That's great. And you did one this weekend, right, as well?
Yep. That was in the Cavendish Mall. And that was 11 for a very quiet day. And it was a Jewish holiday, too. For that reason alone, mainly a lot of Jewish customers go there. They live around there. And that went well, too.
Oh, it's great to hear.
Yeah. And I have another one coming up this Saturday.
Okay. Where's that? Where can they go?
I think it's in Pointe Claire.
At the Kohl's?
Yeah. That's right.
Kohl's and Pointe Claire. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the details will be on marriageofdeceit.com. That forwards to the Facebook page with all the details of all the signings, of all the interviews, of this podcast, and any other media you want to consume. So that's great. You also have an interview coming up in the LaSalle Messenger.
Yes. That should be interesting because my French isn't all that great, but I'll try. I'll try to do my best. But I understand everything in French.
Okay, that's great.
Just maybe coming out with the right words, but I'll do my best.
Well, that's it. I think, and that's all that I think people expect. You know,
yes,
you give it a shot, and then but I think they're working on getting a French translation of the book, or Wendy is.
Yes, we are.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, because that's a big market you could potentially tap into. Okay, so let's break down. Just after we left off, and still talking about just after you got married, specifically the first year living with Ken's parents. So you write, "For the first year we lived with Ken's parents, we bought a brand new bedroom set. It was beautiful. I wasn't allowed to work, so I quit my job 2 months after we were married. Ken didn't want me to work. He wanted me to stay home and cook his meals and do the laundry like a wife should be doing, he said. His mother catered to his every need. It was unbelievable. He was the favorite of all the children, and it was evident. I got bored there and wanted a place of my own privacy with my husband." First question is, I wasn't allowed to work. Wasn't that a red flag for you?
No. I thought he was spoiling me, looking after me. I thought I was, hey, I got a gift here. That's the only way I thought of it.
Was it still the honeymoon phase, so you were almost blinded to some of the controlling things? Or did you see the, you know, because we do forget sometimes that this is, you know, 1950s, but just like late 1950s, where the culture and the mentality was different. The man was the breadwinner, right? So
yes,
this might have been seen more of a more common occurrence, whereas today women are more independent. They work full time and all this stuff. So for you, that wasn't like a red flag of something's wrong.
Definitely not. Okay. I mean, we were taught from a young age, Keith, by our parents, especially the mothers would teach you how to iron, how to cook.
Right.
She didn't teach the boys that. Not, I'm talking about on an average. The girls were taught all that right away. They're, they're teaching you this is your job for life. Very seldom have I ever, the only time I saw my father do any household chores is when my mother was sick in bed. So this is what I expected. I said, he's doing what he should be doing, supporting me.
Right.
And that's the way I thought of it.
It comes off that he's very untrustworthy at the beginning of you because he doesn't want you to work because he's jealous, right?
Mm-hmm.
So were there any stories of his past that he brought up at that time or before that made, maybe might explain the untrustworthiness? Did he have a partner that cheated on him that he mentioned, or did he have any like bad exes that would have maybe made him think that you would have done that, or any behaviors that you did that might have triggered anything that you think?
Not at all, because he only told me he started dating only at 19.
Okay.
And it was just this one girl. And to me, he didn't date very many before me at all. At all. This is why, to answer your question to that, no, I don't think he did. And the mother sort of would have known. He was home most of the time. And he was into his sports, his fishing and hunting and things like that.
Only dating at 19, that was something that you found odd at that time, being 16 and married?
Not really.
No.
I guess thinking about it now, maybe I should have. But no, I didn't.
And did he talk anything about that one girl who he dated at first? Did he bring her up at all? Or
any, no.
Really?
He never mentioned anything about her.
Oh, really?
Whatsoever.
You find that interesting?
Yes,
because he always talks about his, he talks about his that other girl who never existed, and he always mentioned her, but he never mentions that first one he dated.
The real one, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
There was nothing.
Never. Do you know her name?
He used to mention how cute her sister was.
Okay.
Blonde with the nice figures.
Right.
Sometimes she used to show off her legs to him, but not his girlfriend. His girlfriend's sister. That was a bit odd to me.
Right. But, you know, at the time you just dismissed it.
Just passed it off.
Yeah, passed it off. You wanted to be a leg model, right? Because you said that was your best asset.
Yes, I did. I had gorgeous legs.
He didn't like that. He said, he gave you an ultimatum. He said it was the job or it was wife.
That's right.
And so you were very emotional for a couple of days. How can my husband, you know, who should be happy for me and be supportive, not allow me to do that? You sided on canceling the interview and following your husband.
That's right.
Any point, was there any point that you decided to say, screw him, I'm going to do it?
No.
Really?
Not at all. I gave into everything he wanted. Everything. I just wanted peace with him and he would apologize for different things, but at the time what he was saying made sense. You know, he didn't want to share me and the guy would probably rape me in the place, and I said, hey, maybe that could happen, you know, maybe he's right, and I was so naive on things.
Well, just maybe your age, right? Just because of
the age. Yeah, I was only 16, 17. I mean, that's young today. You're just finishing high school, you know?
So, yeah, you didn't have the life experience, right?
None. Yeah. There was nothing.
So when he was telling you that you believed it.
Everything.
Do you think you were maybe who would have been better as a career woman than a caretaker?
I would have made a good nurse because I had a lot of emotion for sick people and I help. I would have made a good nurse, I think. And that's the career I really wanted to follow.
Right. But I mean, like, because it seems like you had a lot of resentment for cooking and cleaning and stuff. If you didn't marry Kenny and you would have done something on your own, would you have been more of a career woman at the time? Like, worked...
I think. And if I had married maybe a man who earned more and I earned well, I think I probably would have hired someone to clean and
right,
exactly. And to cook.
Yeah. Because you never seemed like, even when I was younger, you never seemed, you know, you'd cook just out of the sake of, you know, you have to cook your kid food. But you never seemed to be enthusiastic about cooking ever.
No.
It never was something like that you cared about, really.
This was not my thing. I was more like knitting and stuff.
Right.
Because I wanted babies, I was making baby clothes, and
right.
No, I was never into this. When I did clean, I did it well, trained by my mom, but it was not my thing.
Yeah.
Not at the time, not at all.
My husband was a constant bragger. On a daily basis, he would tell me how lucky I was to have a man like him, someone who didn't smoke or drink. His father was an alcoholic and gave his mother a very hard time. Ken used to break up fights with his parents when he was younger, and his dad actually pulled a knife on his mother once because he thought she was sleeping around. K Ken said he didn't want to follow in his dad's footsteps, and that's why he chose never to drink. It seems very noble, you know, for my dad to not do that, especially back in that day, almost a trendsetter. There's a term that they call it straight edge. And so people who don't smoke or drink or do any drugs are considered straight edge. For the time, that seems very, it's almost unheard of. Everybody smoked cigarettes back then. Even you said, remember you telling me when you're pregnant, your doctor offered you a cigarette. You know,
yes.
It's just that's what they did back then.
Yeah.
And people would drink socially all the time.
All the time, yeah.
So seems very unique for him to not do that. Like anybody in your inner circle do that was the only one.
He was the only one.
Yeah. What did you think of that?
This is some great guy.
Okay.
So great guy. I thought it was fantastic. He only put up with my smoking when he wanted to have sex, really.
Okay.
Yeah, today, it's funny, but that's the only time. Otherwise, he was telling me that it was killing him, the air, and all of what you hear today. That was unusual for someone in that time to come out with all that stuff.
In the 50s.
They used to smoke in the house and put their butts out on the floor, Keith. They didn't even bother with the ashtrays.
Yeah. Was he always the type that was an independent thinker who wouldn't follow trends just to follow them? Had his own opinion? Because, I mean, to be anti-smoking in the 50s?
That's right.
Like that's to me, that's unheard of.
He used to tell me he marched to the tune of a different drummer.
Yeah.
That's the way he explained himself all the time. I was beginning to wonder if he came from another planet at times.
At the time, yeah. Okay, I want to talk more about the violence in his home. Because I'd like to try to trace back and try to figure out, dissect him a bit. He's not here, obviously. To try to figure out why he turned out the way he did. Can you talk about some of the violence that you saw in the house between his father and his mother? And do you think it affected him in certain ways, the way he treated you? Do you see the things that occurred with his father and mother? Did you see trends on the way he treated you?
I used to notice that when the father came home from work, the mother would always have right away his plate there in front of the father, the knife and fork. The supper was ready for him. And in the morning, the shirts was always a new shirt every morning for the father and tie laid out. It was like, if she didn't do it, what would happen? And he hated clotheslines in the house. In those days, there was no dryers that we could afford anyway. And this is what it was. She would go out in the winter, hang them outside, bring them in, hang them on the chair to dry. And it was always had to be done. And I'd say, why is she doing this so perfectly? So it was like she was afraid to get him mad. What I noticed.
Did
very
you ever
strange.
See occurrences where he would get mad and what would happen?
I never heard them fight, but a few times I heard him go out and slam the door, things like that. But I never saw it. But that could have been happening behind my back when I wasn't there. I don't know.
Right. But you never witnessed it?
No.
In the year that you were there?
No. I noticed there was a few arguments, but it was over like Kenny. Sometime he'd run into debt. The father would pay the loan. The mother would say, well, why? And she would sort of try to say, make him pay his own debts and that. And the father would never hear. It was his way or the highway. And she would give in to him right away.
Would he bail him out a lot?
All the time. All the time.
The father.
Every time.
Did he get in debt a lot? Or did he get in trouble a lot with financial?
Yeah, he was always spending more than he could afford, put it that way.
Mm. Okay.
Always. On a car, loan for different guns he wanted when he went hunting, his fishing trips. He was always spending more.
And the parents never checked him on it. The dad always.
Never.
Wow.
Never.
Was he an only child?
No, he had a younger brother and a younger sister, about my age, 6 years younger than him. The sister and then the brother again, probably 12, 15 years younger than him.
Did they live in the house?
Yeah.
With you at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
How were your interactions with them?
There wasn't much interaction with either one of them. The younger brother was babied by the mother like unbelievable. And the sister, well, she was slow in different ways, old-fashioned. She met someone, got married, around 19, but I can't say she wasn't all there. She was, but when she had children, she didn't know how to be a mother. She was nervous, very nervous girl.
And how are his interactions with them? Did he have them, did he take them, have dinner with them?
Nothing.
Zero.
Zero.
And he never like went together, no family dinners or?
He didn't go to his sister's wedding when they got married after us or the his younger brother's wedding.
Wow. Did that strike you as odd?
You know the reason he gave? There's going to someone maybe who's going to say the wrong thing and I'm going to have to fight and I don't want to disrupt their wedding. That's what he would say to all outings. Someone's going to say something out of place. I'm going to have to stand up for them or you or defend the person. And this is why I don't want to disrupt their wedding, which was weird.
Yeah, that is very weird.
Very strange.
Remember you mentioning in the book when I was reading it that it was something he was very proud of, that he didn't drink like his father. And it was something very important to him that he didn't drink because of his father's alcoholism. Were there any other issues that he confided in you about his parents that bothered him? Or did he ever open up to you about stuff that his father did to his mother or anything like that? Any stories?
No, just his father was a bit illiterate, you might say. He had a job as manager, but his math was poor, everything. He didn't go far in his work, his father. Because he said, my father's a dumb idiot. He always referred to him as...
So he always thought negatively as illiterate or stupid or...
His father, not his mother, his father.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Why do you think?
He was almost ashamed of him. He used to tell me he's there for me, but that's about it. He was not proud of him or in any way or form.
Never boast anything about him?
Oh, never, never. Just to say that he helped him financially, that's the only tie they had together, the only communication they really had.
How about his mother?
Oh, yeah, he used to give his mother every day money to feed the cats, and he thought the world of her. Oh, yes, he did. But the mother was, she had a better education, and she was a bright woman, very bright.
Wow, no, it's interesting that he thought so negatively, because you would think, well, most people, they look very highly at their father, right?
Yeah, especially little boys when they're young and there was nothing.
Do you ever think there was any, was there any violence, do you think, or did he mention of any physical violence with him and his dad?
No, the mother used to tell me when they first got married, they lived with the father's mother, the grandmother.
Right.
And she said sometimes when Kenny was a little boy, he did bad things and she would give him a little tap on the bum or something, like most mothers, a little smack, which is not beating a child, just a little whack. And the grandmother used to threaten her life if she ever touched him, and the father too. If you ever touch him again, I'll kill you. I'll kill you. This is what she said. She could never correct him.
Wow.
Never. He could do no wrong to both of them, the grandmother and the father.
But yet he thought so poorly of him.
That's right.
That's right. That's interesting. I don't know. To me, there's something missing there.
Yeah, there is. What? I don't know.
What? Yeah. Well, I guess we'll never know, eh?
But we'll never know.
Something to think about. Okay. The only time I was happy were the weekends when we used to go to Plattsburgh, New York. I loved going there, doing some shopping and looking around. It was a change of scenery. I was able to go and I didn't have to cook or do laundry. So two things that triggered me there.
Yes.
When I was younger, and to this day, you always mention how you like to go to Plattsburgh, New York.
Yes.
Like just going on day trips and all that. Is that why? Because if you look back, that was your only salvation at the time?
That's right.
So it's just, I guess it's still a positive reinforcement in your mind. You still want to go back?
Yeah. I was happy there. And the people were friendly and more friendly than the neighbors in Montreal.
Yeah, because when you think of Plattsburgh, New York, there's not much. It's just a small, dinky town that's on the border.
Friendly. I found, and every place I lived with Kenny, that I don't find the people friendly at all.
But specifically Plattsburgh, New York. I was always, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that would explain it. And again, does the hatred of maybe the cooking and clean, does it come from you know, Kenny expecting you to do it, and that was what he thought your task was, so you resented it because of it? Or was it just generally you didn't like to do it?
It was, I guess you might say half and half, Keith.
Right.
If it was a certain food I loved, or I didn't mind doing it, but he had to have certain foods cooked a certain way. If not, he would turn them upside down on the floor.
Give me an example.
Liver. It had to be rinsed with boiling water, rolled in flour and some spices, fried quickly, and no blood in it. It's just a certain pinky inside, not red. And if it wasn't done right, he would take the pan and throw it on the floor and tell me to clean it up. That was another reason I started hated cooking, because if he didn't like the meal, it would go upside down on the floor, or he would crack the plate in half on the table.
Wow.
Yeah. The mother wouldn't say a word.
Well, she couldn't, right?
She was in the house. No, she
And that was reinforced by the father, allowing him to...
Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy when you think of it. All the, you know, I wouldn't say destruction, but just... Yeah, maybe destruction. That, I mean, because you look back... It's his actions, but if you trace it back, it's the positive reinforcement of the father not allowing the mother to correct. Imagine, what if the mother was able to correct? Maybe that stuff would have got nipped in the butt.
That's so, right. You know, it's, at a young age.
And you're talking now four generations of yes. his affecting our family, our family's families.
That's right.
All because one guy wouldn't get corrected.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He was never corrected.
Okay, this thing was interesting. You finally get a new place, because at this point, I think Ken wanted his privacy.
Yes.
So because Ken wanted his privacy, and then now you got to get the new place. Mm-hmm. Interesting thing. He chose the furniture.
Yes, every bit of it.
That stands out to me as kind of odd. Typically, because men don't care, usually. I'm stereotyping here, but generally men don't care, or especially when insist on specific types of furniture. So do you think that was a power move, or did he really just have a passion for furniture?
No, he didn't. No. He knew I loved colonial stuff.
Ah.
Now I've changed a bit in my choices, but he knew I loved it, and he deliberately turned his head to all of it in the store, and he would buy it without my approval and say, this is what, not, do you like this? This is what I bought. That's the way he would show me the furniture. This is what I purchased. He was paying for it, not me. So he had the right to choose everything.
But it just seems like
he was paying for it.
Like a non, I couldn't give a crap what couch I buy. You know, I guess a little bit, but normally it'd be women have more passion about that. I know I'm stereotyping here a little bit, but. It just seems odd, especially a man in the 50s was like, no, I have to have this couch. You know, like I was curious if it was just him being more controlled.
Not have to have it. We would buy it and tell me that's what I've got.
Right.
But Keith, I must tell you this. There was one thing I was always able to choose. Guess what it was?
The washing machine.
The washing machine.
Right. He didn't care about that.
He never used it. That's why. Never used it. Wanted right. nothing to do with it.
Washing machine, no problem. You could have whichever one you want.
I could pick the one. The old Ringer washers, I'll never forget them. Popping the buttons, breaking the zippers, they were horrible. Yeah.
My husband's dream was to become an actor. Ken followed all the stars' lives very closely. Ken told me that he performed in a few plays and was hoping to act again in the future. He explained that to get anywhere in the industry, you had to have connections. He said that if you waited for luck or to be discovered, that you would get lost in the shuffle and never be successful. Ken explained that actors were a different class of people and that you had to be one to understand what he meant. Did he ever go in depth about the plays he did, or did you ever see anything he did, or was he? Do you think he was full of crap?
I think he was full of shit. Excuse my language now. Full of it. The only thing I heard day after day, he would look in the mirror and quote, to be or not to be? That is the question. Whether it's just nobler in the mind of outrageous for, I that's all I know. But he went on and on
every day.
Most days, definitely. Stare himself in the mirror, comb his hair. He loved himself. Keith, he loved himself. He never gave, I played here, I did this, I played Shakespeare. He was full of it. I believed him.
Well, he was a good con artist,
oh,
right?
Oh, my goodness.
He had you fooled. He had himself fooled, it looks like.
Oh, definitely. He had that on his bureau. You would think a man would like some picture of his wife or girlfriend or whatever at the time I was. Picture on his bureau. It was right. Just movie stars. All over his bureau, these big blowing up pictures. That bothered me.
Yeah, he fantasized about that life.
Right? Oh, yes. Totally.
Yeah.
He never wanted to carry a picture of his wife. It was always a movie star or an actress.
So much so that he created his own production company.
Oh, yes.
Thunderbird Productions. So he opens a company called Thunderbird. He opens a bank account under that name, the company name. And he starts sending letters to actors and production companies in the States.
Yes.
And he starts getting correspondences back to get meetings and like interviews.
Yes.
Did he actually go to the extent of getting a professional headshot then?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
He had his hair curled too.
Okay.
Oh, it was a beautiful picture.
Okay.
Perfect. Nice suit, you name it. He looked fantastic.
Okay. It started getting serious to that point. He was getting callbacks, and there was talks of maybe going to California at that point.
They wanted to see him.
Yeah. So he was like, okay, we got to do this. And you said, well, we got to pay this debt off, so I got to get a second job working at a company called Simpsons, a clothing company.
Yes.
And this seems to be the first time that his real jealousy really starts to pop up for you, right?
Yes.
Like you weren't allowed to have friends over. He was calling you...
He'd call me at work, but just to make sure I was at work.
So he thought you were maybe full of it, and,
He didn't trust me, and I gave him no reason for this whatsoever.
Right.
You know, he would watch what I would wear to work, and he would drive me to work, pick me up from work. It was unbelievable.
So it was almost a full-time job spying on you, making sure you're not doing it, even though there was no reason to...
Yeah.
To think that, yeah.
I couldn't have cheated on when you think about it because he would drop me to work and pick me up from work. Where is the time to cheat?
Yeah, if you have 5 minutes of your bathroom break, you go in the back and, jump some guy. That's pretty much it.
No, he knew I was on the floor selling and that was it.
He was
checking when I had my lunch and when I took my break and it was unbelievable.
So, yeah, at that point, you weren't allowed to even have any friends from work over?
No, only his friend. He had one friend at the time or two and that was it.
Did this ever come up before when you were dating?
We were dating, but at the time, there wasn't much time for friends. It was just me and him, I think. I don't remember ever going on a double date with another. It was just me and him all the time.
So it wasn't something you were aware of at the time?
No, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
You also mentioned that his parents didn't come over very often, even though they were just across the street.
They were not welcome. Nobody was welcome in our house. Nobody.
See, that's, especially the way he was close with them before, that didn't trip any, mental alarms for you that even his parents weren't welcome?
I mean, it was a time when they would come over, they would leave, he would take out the vacuum the rug.
Right.
It wasn't normal, and he wasn't into cleaning. But everything they touched, he would clean. He'd take out the dust rag.
So that was his first sign of obsessive compulsive behavior?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
It was strange. But I didn't even think about it at the time. I just thought, well, he's a neat freak.
Right.
A neat freak.
My husband was a very unsociable man.
Oh, totally, totally.
We barely went out anywhere. When we did, Ken didn't stay long or pretend he was ill so he could leave.
Oh, yes.
He even went to the extreme one time of punching a door and then telling me his hand was broken and that's why he couldn't go out with me. Did you see him punch the door?
Yes.
And then so there wasn't why did you punch a door?
Well, he was trying to get out of in a conversation about not going with me and I said.
Oh, so he used the anger tantrum.
Yeah, and we had a little argument and he'd say, well, why do I have to go when you know I don't like these things? And he whammed the door. Now I can't go. I might have to go to the hospital. He would start crying. I mean, it was some wedding of good friends. It was a real event which we should have gone because these people came to our wedding. And he didn't want to go anywhere socially. He would come out with the same story. I might have to fight. A person might say something out of place. He always used that story.
Yeah. He's just an extreme introvert.
Oh, totally.
Now, back in the day, but now that you
he
look
didn't
at
want
it.
To go anywhere. Yeah. No, no.
Did he ever show that kind of behavior before, or did it start to get worse as you know, moved in with the years that went by? Did it start to get more extreme and more worse, or was it always there and you just didn't want to see it?
Well, it was there, but in the beginning, the places we went, like to a restaurant, was just two of us. It was, he avoided all the places where there was a lot of people. We'd go to the movie theater. It wasn't people we knew, so that was okay.
Right.
So now that I think of it, he was always like that. But it got worse after I started to have children. But then again, that's when I look back, that's when he started to cheat on me. That's where he was at his girlfriend's.
I'm going to stop there. So you have a book signing coming up where again? Sorry? This coming Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Point Claire, you said?
Yeah, I think it's in Point Claire,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, we'll double check, but marriageoftheseat.com to find out the exact location of the book signing. Come to meet my mom. She personalizes the books for you. It says hi. Any other press? You're doing the LaSalle Messenger this week. Going to practice your French.
Yeah, tomorrow evening. Tomorrow's Monday.
And when is that article supposed to come out? Did they mention it yet?
I don't know.
Okay, so we'll, for the next podcast, we'll know.
We'll know.
If you want to check that out in the LaSalle Messenger. If not, meet my mom this Saturday in Point Claire at the Kohl's Bookstore or marriageoftheseat.com for all details. If you want to order the book, the ebook. My sister does deliveries if you're in your local area. And anything else you want to say before the end of the...
Well, I'd like to meet you all.
Yeah.
And I thank you, Keith, for inviting me to your podcast.
It's your podcast. You're the star.
Well, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Well, this, you know, it gives us a little bit more time to break down the stuff.
It's not
a 5-minute interview on TV. We're actually going to be able to spend a lot of, you know, several hours here breaking down the book as we go along. All right. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Goodbye.